This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live, launching into the second hour of the program. Our toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. And we've also got the Discord on-air call-in line rooms. Just jump on into those. They're right at the top of our list of chat rooms over on our Discord server at discord.lrn.fm. We're going to get to your phone calls here with you tonight. By the way, it's Ian.
And Vin.
And Mark.
If you're just tuning in, we've been explaining, talking about this upcoming Bitcoin Cash war that is scheduled to kick off, according to cash.coin.dance. In one day and 16 hours from now, basically, is when the beginning salvos may be fired in this hash war. We're going to continue that discussion here. And, of course, your calls and thoughts on anything that's on your mind is welcome. Let's go to Greg in New York. You're on Free Talk Live, listening at freetalklive.com. Hey, Greg.
So I've been calling in for a while, and, you know, you guys kind of know me as a socialist libertarian, if that, you know, is not an oxymoron. But I kind of wanted to talk a bit about cryptocurrency and maybe tell you a bit about, you know, what I've been doing, but mostly about cryptocurrency and how I think it can bring about libertarian socialism.
All right.
So I'm a voluntary socialist. I want to be there to be less ownership, less government. And by less ownership, I mean, for example, that the promise of cryptocurrency was that you could pay for open source projects by essentially having the developers build them, make money off of the first sale of the tokens, and then the network would not be owned by a single entity. In fact, there would be no entity or gatekeepers or rent seekers to inflate and control everybody. But there would just, it would be owned by the participants, and everyone would own just what they had, their token, their account, et cetera. So that was the vision. But mostly that doesn't happen. And the reason that doesn't happen is because the technology that's used is based on proof of work, and it's very slow. It doesn't scale. And even proof of stake.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about what you mean there. So the proof of work is the kind of the traditional Bitcoin mining setup where these computers are just cranking away, doing very complex math, proving that they're working to secure the network, basically. I'm sure I'm glossing over some very important
technical concepts. At a high level, that's pretty much what people need to know.
Proof of stake tends to be where you have some of the thing, so a cryptocurrency that is proof of stake, you have some. It's staked, meaning it's staying in one place, and that somehow results in mining happening. I'm still not sure exactly how proof of stake works.
Basically, you are able to receive – it's basically the rich get richer. You're able to receive pro rata the number of blocks corresponding to – you're able to mine the number of blocks. So it's like if you have 50% of the network, you're going to mine 50% of the blocks if you have 50% of what is staked. That's the rich get richer, basically.
And some cryptos have a mix of the two, and
Dash is something like a mix of the kind of a hybrid because they have the masternode system, kind of not
that's
really,
exactly the same, but
similar. And Ethereum wants to go to proof of stake.
All right.
Yeah. So by the way, the rich get richer is because those who mine the blocks are rewarded with new currency, and there's a reason why, because they want people to run validators. To make sure there's no double spending. I would also argue that in proof of work, also the rich get richer. If you can afford more hash rate and more ASICs, then obviously you'll get more currency. So it takes money to make money in these systems anyway.
Well, I mean, that's sure. always a true statement. Yes. Although that said, I took a bath on my Bitcoin.com mining contract recently and lost about half of my original investment. It's not uncommon. I mean, everybody I've ever known who's gotten into mining yeah. has lost. So, I mean, I know there's winners out there, obviously. Otherwise, people wouldn't keep doing it.
I went on mine, but I didn't. But I did it differently than you did and some time ago.
Yeah. So the difference with proof of work and proof of stake in regards to the rich get richer is that with proof of stake, it really is just the amount of capital in terms of the tokens that you own. But with proof of work, there can be disruptive new technologies that come in, which is basically what happened when you moved from CPU processors to graphic processors mm-hmm. and now to ASICs, which are specific to a specific blockchain. So, and the ASICs keep getting better and better. So it's like there is the chance for new technology to disrupt the entire industry. And so there's a great incentive for people to develop more and more powerful chips, which in an and cheaper and cheaper electricity.
Which is why we've seen graphics cards going yes. like crazy. They're selling like crazy.
And so there's a great economic effect in that, that even now you've got miners who are actually building power plants attached to their mining operations. So you have...
We're doing huge solar arrays.
Absolutely. So there's this whole other outside thing with the proof of work, mm-hmm. whereas there's all this economic activity to create... to be more efficient in doing the proof of work,
but proof of stake doesn't do any of that.
You do not have any of that.
Interesting.
Right.
How does that all tie into what you're going to say about socialism?
I don't know. It reminds me of Harrison Bergeron, the Kurt Vonnegut story, where the guy that had the big body and could do more work was weighed down with weights because we wanted to make everything fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that story.
Proof of work, you know, people with more, that able to do more work, get more money. Well, isn't that good?
I like that.
By a communist standard? By a standard by he who does not work, does not eat?
I don't know about a communist standard, and I'm not here to force anybody to work, but I do want to say that the work done by solving these hashes is totally useless for any other purpose rather than proving that you did the work. So innovations and how to do more hashes. See, here's the thing. No matter how many computers you throw at the Bitcoin network, it will still only be able to do 7 or less transactions per second because there is one miner who solves that hash and all transactions must go through that miner. The network cannot be sharded.
Well, but that's actually demonstrably not true because in the last several days there were 32 meg blocks mined on Bitcoin Cash. consecutively, which equals out to 224 transactions per second. So what you're saying is actually absolutely not.
Well, he said Bitcoin. He said Bitcoin.
Right,
he didn't say Bitcoin Cash.
Well, that's just because of a block size cap. That has
which
nothing
is what originally yes. created Bitcoin Cash. Absolutely. Because back for listeners who are with us in the summer of 2017, the big controversy.
Yeah.
And it was we called it a geek war, but apparently the geek war has yet to actually begin. That's going to start in less than 2 days.
Well, it's World War Geek Two.
Right. This is World War Two. in this case, we called it a geek war simply because of all the nastiness online where people were attacking one another and they couldn't agree on increasing the block size. That was one of the key factors that split people.
It
back
was the
when,
key factor.
Right. And so the Bitcoin Cash people said, we need to increase the block size so we can have more transactions per second. Yeah. And that's what solves that problem,
that's
Greg.
It. Yeah, there's no technical impediment. It's just changing a configuration in the code.
Yes and no. It's true that Bitcoin Cash can have larger blocks. And therefore, you can have an order of magnitude more transactions, maybe 300 mm-hmm. per second. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're talking about the original vision was a peer-to-peer payment system, a cash system where I could pay you and in parallel, a million other people could pay a million other people and it would do them all. And, you know, what I'm trying to say is that when all transactions have to go through one miner, then that miner has to receive all those transactions. It's actually centralized through that miner for that particular block. And it's worse than that because you don't know who's going to be the miner. So you have to send every transaction to every potential miner in advance. And that is not
a very scalable. You only have to send it to one. You only have to send it to one, and then that one relays it throughout the network. It's a many-to-many system. So when you broadcast your transaction, you only broadcast your transaction to one node. the miners are incentivized to share information with one another because some of the information that they're sharing is helping them to build blocks. So really what they're all doing is they're trying to find a block, and they're all
competing to find one. But those transactions need to find their way to every miner. That's my point.
All right, I want to hear how this ties into libertarian socialism.
I do, too.
Hang on, Greg. More coming up here in moments. Your calls, thoughts, welcome. Our toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. Rather than quibbling over differences in explaining cryptocurrency and technical objections, because if you don't like the way Bitcoin works, you can start your own crypto. And I happen to know that I think Greg's actually working on that. More coming up here. This is Free Talk Live.
Ike was such a sweet, lovable animal, and people would want to pet him, and they'd come up, and they'd get close to him, and it would be this instant, oh, my dad didn't want to touch him. It's like, ooh, get the stinky dog away from me.
Even after we'd give her a bath, she would still stink.
Very stinky, both bad breath and bad gas.
I asked the vet, and he said, some dogs are just stinky.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
DINOVITE.com.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
The ingredients convinced me that it was definitely worth trying. After about a week, he started smelling normal. My husband and I were really kind of astonished.
Dynavite is nutrition.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
The Liberty Dollar was so successful that the United States government had to take it down, and its founder, Bernard von Notthaus. Now Bernard's son Extra has launched Liberty Dollar 2. LD2 is a cryptocurrency, but each token is backed by the same gorgeous fine silver rounds that Liberty Dollar has always been known for. Your silver is secured in an audited vault and can be redeemed at any time. There's only a few thousand LD2 Zero tokens left in the crowd sale at LD2coin.io. Get yours, LD2coin.io.
Bitcoin.com is delighted to announce their latest partnership with the gift card specialists at eGifter. With many of the world's leading brands on their roster, it is now easier than ever to get the gift cards of your favorite brands with Bitcoin Cash. To get started, just follow these simple steps. Visit giftcards.bitcoin.com, pick the gift card you want, follow the instructions on your screen, and make your payment using your Bitcoin Cash wallet. Sit tight and your gift card will be delivered to you as soon as it's ready. That's giftcards.bitcoin.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow. A new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing it, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE. free. Bring up whatever is on your mind. We're talking cryptocurrency here tonight as the potential war, potentially inevitable war, actually, according to various different sources. Vin Armani's here in the studio with us, between Bitcoin Cash supporters of what's called Bitcoin ABC. That's the program, basically, that is behind the scenes at the Bitcoin Cash world. And this new challenger in the form of Bitcoin SV, which they say stands for Satoshi's Vision, because they know what Satoshi's vision is. Right. Just like any, you know, religious
split. Of course it is.
One side says they know what the vision of the founder is. The other side says they know what the vision of the founder is.
Isn't that every religious schism is
it
that?
Is. It truly
is. It's literally what it is.
Whether it's Buddhism, whether it's Islam, whether it's Christianity, or whether it's Bitcoin Cash.
I hear Thanos saying, the hardest decisions require the strongest will.
So we're going to get back into it, and we can talk more about what's coming up, because we're less than 2 days from the beginning of this Bitcoin Cash war. As we continue here, I do want to make sure that you know about the Tom Woods podcast. A lot of libertarians got to know Tom Woods during the Ron Paul campaigns of 2008 and 2012. Tom is a New York Times bestselling author. He's written over a dozen books, including The Politically Incorrect Guide to American History. And since September of 2013, Tom Woods has been putting out his own show, The Tom Woods Show, every single weekday, which means he's gotten over 1,200 episodes in the can so far. You can download them through TomWoods.com. You can also search for Tom Woods Show in your favorite podcatcher. And, of course, he's had great guests like Ron Paul, Judge Andrew Napolitano, David Stockman, and more. Talked about all kinds of topics like the Federal Reserve, net neutrality, the FDA, Austrian economics, and other subjects of interest to libertarians. So check him out at TomWoods.com as we continue here. We're back with Greg in New York. You had called in about the world of cryptocurrency. We talked about some of the differences between mining techniques and trying, you know, our best to explain these things as simply as possible, because this isn't a cryptocurrency show, even though we've been talking about it for the last hour.
Right.
It's a general audience, a general interest show, but we think cryptocurrency is so important. We want people to grasp some of the basic concepts behind it, because cryptocurrency isn't going anywhere. No. Whether Bitcoin Cash lives or dies this week, cryptocurrency is here to stay.
Absolutely.
And anyway, Greg, you call yourself a libertarian socialist. You were going to somehow tie in your opinions about cryptocurrency with libertarian socialism, and I wanted to make sure you had a chance to do that.
Thanks. Yeah, and I wanted to make just a couple quick points. I think that Satoshi made a great thing. I don't care what his original vision was. I more care about what works. And I think my personal opinion is that Bitcoin and Ethereum are sort of the MySpace of the what's happening. Like, you know, I was in the, when social media was coming out, MySpace and Friendster were like the big things, and Facebook was an unknown. And now, obviously, the MySpace has lost to Facebook. So I see the same thing happening. There's new technologies that are far, far more scalable, and there's no single bottleneck like a miner or something like that. Everything's parallel. Everyone owns their token or their group activity, and they don't rely on one particular central point. And so those technologies, I think, will improve scalability.
Isn't this, to some extent, I mean, you know, pardon my ignorance, Greg. I'm sure you're far more enmeshed in this than I am, but I'm just sitting here on the outside. Isn't that kind of what, like, IOTA is trying to do to
That's
some
another
extent?
Another crypto, but it's a different style.
Right.
Of
I mean,
cryptos.
It stands for Internet of Things, but what they're talking about is basically you do the transaction for your neighbor, and then they do it, and there's some
right.
kind of.
Right. IOTA is different. So, well, when we talk about when we've discussed cryptocurrencies, generally, most of them are based off of Bitcoin. IOTA is different. It's one of the few cryptos out there that they seem to have created on their own. And I remember reading about it a couple of years ago when it first came out. And the idea was that each node in the IOTA chain, whether it be your own personal computer or this coffee maker that you have or whatever ends up being the Internet of Things, that in order to send a transaction, it must solve two waiting transactions, which they say solves the scaling issue because, you know,
it seems to.
It solves the scaling issue purportedly. So that's the idea there, where it wouldn't be centralized. Is that what you're asking about, Mark?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's several different approaches, and there's many, many different approaches. There's a Stellar There are others. Made Safe has a completely different approach, which I personally like a lot. These are innovations the same way that there were relational databases, and you had MySQL and Postgres, and then you had all these non-SQL databases for a while, and people innovated. So I see these as the same way, except these databases are not owned by one entity. They're owned by many entities. But Bitcoin's not the be-all.
Bitcoin was just the first. Yeah. I mean, there's
Well, right. We're not driving around, cars driven by steam engines or some kind of 9-volt battery anymore, or even a Model T Ford. There have been innovations.
But we are still using coins.
We are still using coins, but they're not pressed precious metals. They're just fakes of precious metals.
But we've been doing that since the Roman times. The Romans were using coins that had no
brass
metallic value.
Well, cryptocurrency is one of the biggest changes to money in the lifetime of money, basically.
But money innovations are very, very slow. It's not like...
Not anymore. They used to be slow because it was the government and the banks in charge of it.
Fair
but the innovations, I mean, think about all the innovations
adoption
that have happened.
Is what he's talking about. What Ben's talking about, adoption.
Yeah. In terms of, because money takes a massive network effect.
Mm-hmm.
It's to disrupt money, you have to basically disrupt something at a very deep psychological level of human beings, because mostly money is an imaginary good for the most part. There's very. Even gold, I mean, we assign gold a value, but it's at the end of the day, it's shiny metal, and that value is put on it by millennia of human beings believing it was worth something.
Right. The only reason you can sell me gold is because I understand other people will buy gold.
Correct.
But I know your fingers are not adorned with ornamentation, nor are mine, nor are Ian's, nor are Michael Hampton's. Nobody's got it in this room because we just don't value it.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, I just wanted, so here's how I tie in socialism, and I could call back in about that specific topic, but here's what happened. Because this was not scalable, it wasn't used as a means of exchange. So people started holding it and speculating on it and trading it. When you trade, you hold it for long periods of time, and then you sell it maybe, and you try to make a profit. It's very different than use case. Okay. It's like, and again, I'm not a fan of the USSR, but Karl Marx mentioned, for use, and he's not the only one, use value of a house versus speculative value of a house. And so people would have these courses in 2003 or 4, how to flip a house. And that led to destabilizing the housing bubble because, if you could speculate on houses,
it could do something. It could have something to do with the low cost of money at the time, and people and government trying to incentivize people that had no business being in houses being in houses.
Predatory lending. Yeah.
Hold that thought, Greg. I'll bring it back because it's an interesting discussion. We'll continue here. How does this all tie in with libertarian socialism?
I'd like to
know. I'm not sure he's made that clear yet. So that's coming up. Your calls, your thoughts are also welcome as we are here pretty much on the eve of this Bitcoin Cash network fight that is coming up. In one day and just over 15 hours from now.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The deep state began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
USA Radio News.
Nearly 9,000 firefighters are continuing to battle wildfires in California on Tuesday. Search and rescue teams have been using cadaver dogs to try to locate victims of the campfire in Northern California. Jody Jones is the mayor of Paradise, California.
Right now, we need time and patience and perseverance. I've seen these things on TV before, and it'll be one neighborhood. But in our town, it's the whole town. It's 90% of the residences. It's just everywhere you look, there's nothing.
Late this afternoon, a judge ruled that Palm Beach County could continue counting votes for an extra 5 days. Those votes were supposed to be counted all by Thursday. The judge gave them until the 20th of November. Governor Scott's attorney, Jason Zimmerman, said this all comes down to a trust issue.
We have a trust issue in this process, and we need to do something now before it is too late.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS and you cannot afford to make payments to the IRS, you may qualify for the CNC tax program. This is a new program, and if you qualify, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Once you are accepted into this program, the IRS is forced to stop all harassing collection activities. No threatening phone calls, no wage garnishments, no bank levies, and no more monthly payments to the IRS. Get ready to write this number down. It's the most important number you'll ever need to end your IRS tax nightmare. Call Paramount Tax Relief at 800-547-4804 for a free confidential consultation to find out if you qualify for the CNC tax program. Once you are accepted into the CNC tax program, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Call Paramount Tax Relief now at 800-547-4804. That's 800-547-4804. Again, 800-547-4804.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live, and you can join us here. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got the Discord on-air call-in line rooms. They're open and available to you over at discord.lrn.fm. With you tonight, it's Ian.
And Ben.
And Mark.
Your property and family are precious, so protect them with the Blink Home Security System. It's motion-activated HD cameras. They are wireless, and therefore the setup time is as minimal as it could possibly be. You unbox the cameras, put the batteries in. They're just double A's, so when you finally need to replace them, which they'll last up to 2 years, by the way, it's no problem getting more double A's. You don't have to order some special battery. So pop the batteries in, put the cameras up wherever you want them, and set it all up via your Wi-Fi-enabled devices. Super easy to do. You decide when the cameras operate, how long the clip should be that they send to you. So it'll send you a clip if it sees something happening during the time frames that you specify. There's no contracts. There's no subscriptions. And Blink works with Alexa. You can get your Blink camera systems starting at less than $100 by going to blinkprotect.com/FTL. That's blinkprotect.com/FTL. As we go back to Greg in New York. Greg describes himself as a libertarian socialist. He is a fan of cryptocurrency. But you've got a bit of a different vision, and I wanted to have you, you know, finish up your point about tying this in somehow, cryptocurrency and money, you know, developments in that world to socialism or libertarian socialism.
Sure. So basically, I'm a fan of people using things, not just owning and speculating on them. So original cryptocurrency with the vision was that people would use these tokens, and they would use them, and there would be no middlemen, because they would have built and the network and profited off of the first sale only. But what crypto has turned into, because it is not scalable enough to be used all the time by millions of people, is speculative investment. And the government of the United States is actually, funny enough, it has restricted its socialist use and only allowed the capitalist use. So what I mean by that is utility tokens, which I consider to be social, more socialist, have been sort of, you know, the SEC has said that pretty much every token is a security by the Howey test. This is from a court case, Howey versus U.S. government, that said that there, as long as your capital is at risk and there's expectation of profit from the efforts of others in a common enterprise. So most of these companies are a common enterprise, and based on their efforts, your currency may be worth more. And those are security tokens. So the SEC has basically driven out, at least for now, the utility token market. And in the last year, you don't see any more ICOs as much. You see STOs.
ICOs are the initial coin offerings. These are a decentralized way of an organization, a group, or a company doing fundraising, basically by crowdsourcing that fundraising through one of these initial coin offerings. And what you're talking about is the tokens that are sold in these initial coin offerings in order to raise funds. These tokens have been sort of described in different ways, one of them called a utility token, the other a security token.
Yep.
And you're saying that the security,
token isn't like a security device. A security token is like a tradable security on
a stock.
Yeah, like a stock.
Yeah.
And you're saying that the utility token concept has gone away?
I'm saying the utility token concept is mostly hard to do an ICO in the United States, because that would be considered an unregistered security offering. Because unlike Switzerland and other countries, the SEC views almost every utility token that's doing an ICO as a security. And as a result, the only tokens that are now doing it are the ones that are securities. So that's capitalism, and that's fine. But I'm simply saying that the socialist use, the actual using of tokens in a network, has mostly been chilled by the U.S. government and other governments, because they do consider them to be speculative investment vehicles.
What is the socialist? I'm still not understanding. What is the socialist use exactly? What would make using a token to purchase something socialist or capitalist? Where's the difference?
So if you had a stable coin, let's say you had a token that was totally pegged to the U.S. dollar, right?
Okay.
If you were able to achieve that, no one would buy them in order to speculate, right? No one buys tethers thinking that they're going to go to $30. So if you had tokens like that, then you would be able to sell them and only attract those people who would actually use them for their intended purpose, like a Netflix token or a laundromat token, as opposed to buying them and holding them only to be resold to someone else.
So do you consider the U.S. dollar then to be a socialist token? Because that's exactly how people use the U.S. dollar.
I think it's a currency, and certainly it enables people to use things much better than if dollars were hoarded.
But is it socialist?
Well, to me, socialism, I like to say I want to see less ownership. So I consider property to be just as violent an institution as government. Because to defend property, you need to exclude others by force from certain things.
I you've explained that before, and I think it's a great explanation. However, I would ask you this. You want less ownership. And what does less ownership look like? Because to me, we live in a world where there's ownership of everything. There may be government ownership of something, and they may claim that it's public,
right,
but they're lying, and everybody knows it. That there are, like, for instance, there's a park down the road here. I can't go with a shovel and begin planting corn because it's not mine. And it never was.
Right.
We actually had an activist try that about a decade ago, and he got arrested for it.
Yeah. That's because,
turns out it wasn't his property.
I wouldn't want him to be able to plant corn there either, but
ultimately, if it's his land, then he should be able to.
Somebody owns everything. So please tell me what this ownership looks like.
So less ownership looks like you live in your house, you use your house, that's totally valid. You owning 1,000 houses or 1,000,000 houses is ownership beyond what you would normally use yourself or your family. It's now there to perhaps speculate. A lot of houses would sit empty.
Who decides?
That's true.
Yeah, who makes that decision? Because what if I want to have 1,000 acres of land and that's because I'm going to plant an orchard?
No one should be making that decision. The system should not allow people to reach that point simply by virtue. Like the cryptocurrency system does not allow one particular entity like Facebook to own every account and have information.
Wait, are you saying that you can't have an orange grove or an apple orchard?
You should be able to have anything you want. It's just that the system would make it very, very hard to own things that other people actually use or to deny them the use of a house or land or anything to a great extent.
The system that you're envisioning or the system that we currently have?
Well, the system we currently have is a mix of socialism and capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to see less ownership of things that you're never going to use yourself. And John Locke had the same thing when he talked about homesteading. He said a man should not own so much land that he lets the vegetables simply rot in the field because, well, he owns it and no one else can take those vegetables.
Nobody likes to see waste.
I don't know how often that happens, but let me ask you this. What I've seen in the marketplace is that wealthy people drive innovation. That, some years ago, there were these ideas of flat-screen plasma TVs. And, man, mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool. Yeah. A flat TV you hung on the wall like a picture frame. Hot! Darn it.
If you had $100,000, you could have had one.
Absolutely. Right. And they were like $10,000. And only a madman would spend that kind of money. Now I can go down to Walmart and I can buy one of these. It's better than the plasma that
was
on. Yeah. Seriously. It's like $350 for a full-size TV that you hang on the wall. And this happens all over the place. How do you expect to create innovation in a marketplace where there aren't rich people?
Do you want me to answer that question?
I do.
All right. More coming up here with our guest, Greg, in New York.
He calls in with good stuff.
Yeah. I mean,
he's not a dumb guy.
One of the
guy.
More intelligent callers we've got. Our toll-free number here is 850. It doesn't mean he's right, but he's intelligent. 855-450-FREE. It's Free Talk Live.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help. Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite. Pick up 2 bottles of Lico Chops. Get the 3rd bottle free. New improved Lico Chops with omega-6, omega-3, vitamin E, and now 6 extra direct-fed microbials. Even better for the digestive tract and immune system. And dogs love it. Try Lico Chops. Buy 2, get 1 free. This is Henry Lukasevic for Dynavite.
DINOVITE.com.
The Liberty Dollar was so successful that the United States government had to take it down, and its founder, Bernard von Notthaus. Now Bernard's son, Extra, has launched Liberty Dollar 2. LD2 is a cryptocurrency, but each token is backed by the same gorgeous fine silver rounds that Liberty Dollar has always been known for. Your silver is secured in an audited vault and can be redeemed at any time. There's only a few thousand LD2 Zero tokens left in the crowd sale at LD2coin.io. Get yours, LD2coin.io.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Epigenetics and the Sins of the Father. GodSaidManSaid.com. U.S. colleges, new mental institutions. Close Satan's secret door. GodSaidManSaid.com. Mummies and the Sons of Ham. Alcohol and Christians. Geologists say yes to crucifixion. GodSaidManSaid.com. Which religion? Which Bible? Quantum physics to Adam's rib. Hours of text and streaming audio. GodSaidManSaid.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
If you talk and they will hear you.
Why are we getting killed like this?
Kyle's not here. Got caught drinking beer in the park a couple of nights ago.
Really?
Yeah. Zero tolerance. He's out for the season.
Harsh.
Hey, he knew not to drink. We made that clear to all of our kids, right?
No, not really.
Bill, if we don't tell them what we expect and why they shouldn't drink, how are they going to know?
Talk. They hear you.
Hear you. You can do it if you try.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live. You can dial in. Toll-free number here for you is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We also have the Discord on air call-in line room, so jump on over to discord.lrn.fm, and you can get into one of those rooms. We'll get you on the air, and you can talk about anything that you want. By the way, thanks to RC, who is a Free Talk Live silver amplifier, meaning he gives $5 a month to this program, the AMP program. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote, and it's a simple concept. You send $5 a month into us. We then invest it into Free Talk Live so we can get on more radio stations. Got 194 great AM and FM radio stations across the United States that air this show at various different times throughout the week. And we can have 300. It's just it takes time and it takes money. It takes marketing, and that's what the AMP program helps us do. So you can help us with that, like RC has done, and he's become a silver amplifier, which is that $5 a month level. If you feel like doing more, you can. Either way, you know, there's no difference between the levels. You know, it's just if you want to give more, you can. But you get all the same perks, basically, if you are whatever level you're at. And there are different perks. There's the perk of the Amp Only podcast, which doesn't have the normal commercials our regular podcast does. There's also the Amp Only Facebook group. There's some special contributors areas on our Discord server. So get on over to amp.freetalklive.com. You can sign up with PayPal. You can use credit card. And you can use Bitcoin BTC. So go to amp.freetalklive.com. It's Ian Vinn and Mark in the studio here. We are going on with a lengthy conversation with Greg in New York that has covered Bitcoin, it's covered cryptocurrency, and now we're getting into Greg's socialist philosophy where he wants to see less ownership. And you gave the example, Greg, of a homeowner, somebody can own a house because you live in that house, but having 1,000 houses, you couldn't possibly live in those, so therefore that's too far for you.
Right, it's the shtick, the old socialist shtick of you may have possessions, you may not have property. This is the distinction that they make.
And
so
you
could have a hammer to do carpentry work, but you may not rent hammers to carpenters to do work.
And to some extent, I can empathize with the viewpoint of not wanting to see property go to waste. I don't want to see somebody just owning land for the sake of owning it when somebody else might be willing to actually do something with the land. So I get that, and I don't I don't begrudge him for having that
perspective. I feel like that doesn't even really happen, though. Like, I mean,
the federal government certainly owns a lot of land, and
yeah,
they just
sit
on it.
Well, I think that is perhaps a little more socialist than capitalist. When I think about capitalism, I mean, I've been an entrepreneur for a very long time, and I've worked in tech. And currently, the company that I founded is venture-backed, which means venture capitalists have backed our company. You know, they've invested in our company to get a piece of the company, and we wouldn't be able to do the things that we do. We wouldn't be able to grow if they weren't willing to take on some of that risk and contribute money that they have either saved or earned or whatever it is to us for a piece of the company. But it sounds like under this model that we're talking about here that they wouldn't have been allowed.
They wouldn't have needed it. The money would have come from heaven.
Or they wouldn't have been allowed to save it because they wouldn't have. Why would they possibly need all of that money? No person could possibly need $1 million.
Well, Mark, you had asked Greg a question before we went to break. I don't know if you made a note about what
I did. So the question was basically, how does innovation, how does the market innovate without rich people? And I use the example of TV sets, the flat screen TVs hanging on the wall back, 20 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, were really expensive. Now they're cheap as heck. What the rich people did who bought those TVs.
For 80 grand.
They were that high at one point. They signaled the market that it was important to have TVs that looked like picture frames that you could hang on the wall. And because somebody was willing to pay $80,000 for what was, something, a step up from a prototype, I am now able to have one for $400, which is about my price threshold.
Right? First of all, let me say I like capitalism. I'm not one of those people that says capitalism is bad or something.
I don't like it or hate it. It is just an economic system, and it's the one that seems to be the default. So, please.
It's the economic system that has helped us to get to where we are. It has pluses. It has some minuses. And it's not perfect, just like any other economic system. But to answer your question, that's a very good question. You know, can you develop things without accumulating capital in one specific place and having that place call the shot? First of all, I'm happy to have venture capitalists. My own company is funded in part by investors
who want
to see a return.
That's not like it's right. It just has to be.
So, there are investors and they need to see a return. Now, the question is, what's better, taking all the risk and then owning, because no one will take the risk on a drug, for example, unless you have a patent and you own intellectual property, which I know many of you guys don't believe in. So we can start there, mutual agreement.
But people did take risks before drugs were patentable.
Yeah, intellectual property. Dr. Mary Ruard, one-time libertarian candidate for president, reported that she was, in fact, a research chemist for a major pharmaceutical, and that basically they didn't even really use the patent system as recently as 20 or 30 years ago. That it's really ramped up recently. And this is now we've seen a stagnation in the market with intellectual property.
And people take risks on non-patented medicine all the time. I mean, herbal supplements are a multi-billion dollar industry. All non-patented.
People are going down to South America to get stem cell transplants that may or may not be true simply because they want them. So they're putting
in fact, guys, the arguments you're making against intellectual property, if you translate them to other domains, you're actually making a socialist argument. You're saying you don't need intellectual property to advance the state of the art because people all over the world will be contributing to a growing snowball of free information like open source, Wikipedia, and other things. And I want to see open source drugs. I want to see open source news. I want to see at least intellectual
property. That's something that I agree with you on. I mean,
I'm not sure that's socialist, though. I'm pretty sure that intellectual property is... intellectual property is much more socialist because it requires centralization. It requires a centralized state. Whereas if you removed – I don't know that you can have socialism without a centralized state.
Let me help you parse this just a second. When you say less ownership, that is confusing to libertarians.
Yeah.
Use the terminology more decentralization because you don't want – centralization of property. You don't want property collected in fewer hands. You want it in as many hands as it possibly can
be. Yeah, so that's actually more ownership.
That's right. So to my mind, that's more ownership, not less. You don't want any less ownership. You want the decentralization of ownership.
So I've learned over, it's unfortunate, but the word socialism has become associated with its opposite, which is totalitarianism. And basically, you're saying you need a central government. So instead of using the word socialism, I like to say collaboration. And instead of using capitalism, I like to say competition. So I am saying more collaboration will improve the state of the art faster than competition between siloed, Windows, Internet Explorer, or drugs and intellectual property. The less enforcement of intellectual property there is, I think the more the faster we can get there. And I'm not saying about TVs. I'm not saying that we can apply this in every area. But I think the next area would be land and water and air, because I think there's a similar argument that you can't own ideas. You can't own too much of water or air that you're not using. And that's what I mean by socialism. But I think collaboration
Greg,
might be.
Thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate the discussion. Very interesting topic and one that I'm sure we'll continue to discuss on into the future. And I like your suggestions, Mark, of changing the terminology. Rather than evoking socialism, which, of course, you think Venezuela, you think all these abusive, violent governments, instead of talking about socialism, talking about decentralizing, talking about cooperation, that's something
Absolutely.
You can start to communicate with people about.
Well, the next step in this, the next question is once you decentralize or force or incentivize decentralization, that's what's been done with the monetary system to some extent through its the government, central banks having the ability to create money, which then disincentivizes thrift. Thrift is holding money,
yes.
Right? Like hoarding money.
What you're saying is inflation disincentivizes savings.
Thrift is an aspect, is an indicator of morality as we come to understand it currently.
Mm.
So if I am not thrifty, I am likely to be fat, drunk, violent, a whole bunch of things, right? And just, think about all the things that when you are wasting money,
you're like a government agent, basically.
Well, whatever it might be.
Thrift is fat, drunk, and violent. Hedonism, basically.
Right, and
yeah.
Thrift is incentivized by a Austrian economic system. Thrift is incentivized in the marketplace to some extent. If you're thrifty in your youth, you will be wealthy in your old age versus if you are a spendthrift, which is a term I hate. If you're you spend a bunch of money in your youth, you probably won't be.
All right, the toll-free number if you want to join us. Got a full hour to go. 855-450 free like freedom.
Trading involves financial risk. It is not suitable for all investors.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. Former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars.
To join the American Cannabis Summit, visit acs2018.com or text JOIN to 76280. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280 now.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the purest for you and your family. For over 14 years, thousands have depended on Berkey Clean Water. The Berkey guy has you covered at home, work, and on the go with water filtration systems of every size for every budget. Now, GCN listeners receive 10% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN at GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.